Hi, everybody. So this is David from the future. A little bit of house cleaning going on. So since we recorded episode one, we actually have a website now, axelon.buzzsprout.com. It's a really cool website. It really helped me put up onto iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. It helps me get stats. They're not paying me for this. I just really had a good experience and I wanted to share it. So our website, once again, is axelon.buzzsprout.com. Our show Twitter is at Axelon Archives. You can email us at axelonarchives@gmail.com. My personal Twitter is at Daofaq, D-A-O-F-A-Q. James is at Discord_Inc, not I-N-K. Furthermore, our regular release date from this point onward will be Mondays. Sorry about that. I had to cut out about a minute of me clearing my throat. So you will have until, if you want to send us any feedback, questions, comments, watch the episode beforehand, tell us your thoughts, give us something to talk about, just try to get it in before Thursday, and we will address it on the show. Other than that, I believe that's everything we need to talk about. Yeah, that's everything. Okay, so I just want to get that all out there before we started the show. Also, I'm hoping that I was able to fix my mic. I noticed that in the last episode, and unfortunately in this episode, James's sound is a little bit better than mine. I'm trying to play with my microphone a little bit to get it a little more equal footing. So with all of that housekeeping out of the way, let's get on with the show. Okay, yeah, so, listeners, we're going into this cold. We just had a three-minute conversation you're never going to hear.
Yeah, we should actually do a proper intro, though.
Yes. I'm starting where I said, like, listeners, you didn't hear any of that.
Okay. All right, well, welcome to the Exelon Archives. I'm James.
I'm Daoud.
Okay, and this is Beast Wars Part 2. Originally aired on April 23rd, 1996, a special preview. Actual airing was some date in September, written by story editor Bob Ford, directed by Steve Ball, who seems to be just a director at Mainframe, since it didn't have any like major credits, did a bunch of reboot episodes, and did a bunch of things. I guess actually we should say the premise of the podcast, where we are watching the 1996 CG animated show Transformers Beast Wars and talking about it.
Yes, and we will be going into Beast Machines when we get there.
Yeah. That's ways off.
It's a couple years away, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Alright, so let's we have two topics to talk about. Normally this section would only be about 10 minutes because we're not going to have any messages from the Golden Disc. I'm going to extend it up to 20. I think the topic I wanted to bring up will probably be easier to get through than Spider-Man Homecoming. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned last episode that I work at a big box electronic retailer. You can probably figure out which one. I'm just not going to say though. My store had a fire Sunday night.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was after closing. No one was in the store. Most of the actual damage is because of water. However, there is like quote unquote health issues, which is why like every fixture and piece and product in the store is getting moved out. Yeah. So I'm asset protection. So I was actually at the store. I was supposed to be there the morning after that happened. I got a call about an hour and a half before opening, from one of the managers just saying like, hey, there was a fire last night. We're not doing any business. You don't have to come in. You're still getting paid. I'm like, cool. Then I'm like, wait, there's a fire. I'm asset protection, and yesterday I did the weekly safety check. I hope I did, wasn't lax in that. Asset protection. So my job is people is make sure people, property, and product are all okay. So when I hear about a fire, I immediately think, was this my fault?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's actually we're recording episode 1 and 2 at the same right after another. We and I was a couple minutes late to the recording because I was one town over for a meeting with every single person in the store explaining to us what happened. Because I'm asset protection, I was there the day after the fire. Okay, so the fire happened Sunday night. Monday was when I got the call, you don't have to come in. Tuesday, I actually went down to the store telling us because we needed someone to keep the customers out and to make sure product stays in because we had people there cleaning up. And we don't know them, basically. A lot of the information I already had. Being asset protection means you get a lot of information that the sales force won't know. Some of it I'm not supposed to say anything to anyone in the store. I mean, we had people walking up asking details about the fire. And they ask so many questions. Sometimes we just say, like, we don't know. Insurance is still checking out. Like, when is the store going to open again? Like, we don't know. The cleanup's done. And we get it product back in. Yeah. So if you're in a certain – if you shop at a certain Best Buy in Northern California between the Sacramento and San Francisco areas, we'll be open in probably – 2 to 3 weeks, we won't be finished with the basically stocking the entire store over again, but we will be open for business. That was the major thing I wanted to talk about. Like, there was a fire at my work.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I don't have anything quite that dramatic. My thing is, I moved. Granted, this doesn't affect for most people because we haven't done this earlier, but yeah, I moved out of a townhouse into a townhouse basement, which is mostly nice and quiet. Yeah, still a whole lot of stuff that I need to unpack.
You're in New York State, right? I know you're on the eastern.
I'm in Northern Virginia in the DC area.
Oh, cool. Fun fact about Virginia: it actually extends more west than West Virginia.
Huh. Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. Like the little tip goes further.
Yeah, this is totally innate. Like I said, I'm full of trivia. But you know why West Virginia split off?
Because during the Civil War they decided to stay with the Union.
Yep.
Yes.
It's cool.
Yeah, Virginia is like big on state history. I've heard in like other states, you don't actually get to find history till like middle school and stuff. But in like elementary school, they drilled a lot of that stuff in early.
I think it was 4th grade for me. Yeah, so that when we got California history.
Oh, that's actually interesting. I had some friends from Texas, and they didn't learn a lot of like history until like middle school, and just like, well, it's Texas for you, I guess.
I mean, the Texas Republic is pretty much the before joining the Union. That's really all the history you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Texas Republic when it was its own state.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and they gloss over some of the other details. This is probably not a good pod yet to go in the...
Yeah, we're two quote-unquote Northerners talking about the Civil War. Let's not go here.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm a Northerner of Middle Eastern descent, so I definitely shouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah. You know who is from New York, though? Spider-Man.
Nice segue. So we both yesterday saw Spider-Man Homecoming independently of each other.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually going to record an episode before we both went. I had some technical difficulties on my side. First, Safari wouldn't respond, and then my computer wouldn't boot up. I ended up having to put in recovery mode, so just wiped it and reloaded it all up.
Who says Macs can't have problems?
But it's a 5-year-old Mac. It still looks new because I take good care of it and doesn't really leave the house much anymore now that I finished college. But it's still a 5-year-old Mac.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, I saw it with my brother, and I enjoyed it an awful lot. I've kind of cooled on a lot of superhero movies. Like, I skipped over Ant-Man and Doctor Strange. But this one was really good. It was nice to have a superhero movie that skipped over the origin, and you got just being a superhero doing superhero stuff.
Uncle Ben was not mentioned at all in this movie.
Yeah, that was actually a little weird that, like, they don't directly mention this. Like, and I'm a guy who said, like, I don't want to hear any origin. It's still weird to say, like, hey, why didn't they just say, like, mention, oh, yeah. Why didn't they mention, like, you know, oh, yeah, you're trouble with the uncle. There's, like, one sideways mention of, like, oh, there's been some tough times. But doesn't, no Uncle Ben, no mention of power and responsibility. Again, fresh, but still kind of weird that they don't talk about it.
It felt like a, is it just me or feel like a John Hughes movie a little bit?
It is not just you. I was reading up on that, and that was apparently something they intentionally went for with the movie.
Ah.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar or, like, listened to this in the past, Spider-Man Homecoming is the latest attempt to reboot Spider-Man by Sony, but still tangentially involved in, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it features them in a high school setting, which is something you really didn't get to see in the previous movies. Like the first Raimi one, he, like, graduates, like, halfway through. And I didn't watch the other one, the Amazing Spider-Man movies, but I understand he graduates pretty quickly in that one, too. It's nice to have, like, one, you know, focusing on high school. And also, like, a much kind of, like, different take on, like, high school than you get with most Spider-Man stories.
Yeah, he graduated high school in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I thought he was graduating college in Spider-Man 1, the Raimi version.
Well, that's because Tobey Maguire does not look like a high school student.
No one in that movie looked like a high school student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really it. I didn't read this. I just saw the headline. What was it? What's the actor who played Peter Parker in this one?
I believe it's Tom Holland.
Yes, Tom Holland. The headline was like, you don't have to feel creepy about your crush on Tom Holland, because a lot of people weren't sure how old he was. He's actually 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was.
He looks super young in that movie.
He does. I don't know what this is, but there's people who, like, had braces or have braces. Their cheeks sort of get full, like round, like a baby's cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has that, and also. He's 21. He looks like he could still use some growing height-wise.
Yeah, it's actually kind of weird that, like, he was shorter than, like, Liz. It's very weird to, like, have, like, oh yeah, let the playing character be shorter than the girl.
Yeah, that's not something you see very often. I don't know how tall he is. Like, he's probably less than 5'10", right? Because if he's shorter than Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, also, there's a lot of, like, web-swinging and, like, fighting, like, stuff. I guess you say, like, it's not just, like, oh, it's the Breakfast Club with Spider-Man. Like, no, he does punch some dudes.
Oh, man. We got another British Spider-Man.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, apparently he's English.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's good at covering that up.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was from New York, honestly.
Yeah. No, I would have believed that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like a super New York movie, even though large parts of it were filmed in Atlanta.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Look, I'm bad at picking that stuff up. It's like, oh, bodegas and, like, the subway. And not just, you know, downtown New York.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the bodega part was probably filmed on a back lot somewhere.
Yeah, no, I can believe that.
Yeah.
So anyways, like, Spider-Man Homecoming, it's really good. Okay.
Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, go see it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably have already seen it. I mean, this is not really like we're trying to direct you to some obscure art house film. Still, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Michael Keaton as the Vulture. Like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, Michael Keaton as Vulture. I'm up. I'm in.
Yeah, I actually didn't realize that was Michael Keaton until the end.
He's playing a lot of, like, flying characters, like, he's got this. He got Birdman. Mm-hmm. He's, of course, known for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, he's a really good villain.
Oh, yeah. No, he's really good. He was probably one of the best Marvel movie villains in a while, even though, like, I noticed, like, they basically had to smush two villains together to get him. But that sometimes you got to make that work.
The Vulture and who?
Green Goblin. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, because with the glider and stuff and other stuff, I'm not going to, because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't watched it.
Sure, if you want to call it a glider, is more, I don't know, wing pack, I think. Yeah. Maybe. Oh, so I found it. Tom Holland is 5'8", apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, so that's like, yeah, he's 2 inches short of the average. That's fine.
All right. So, do we want to get on to the episode?
All right. Time for the Rhinox rundown.
All right. So.
What's new, Pussycat?
Rhinox, what's going on?
Last time on Beast Wars, we had the Maximals and the Predacons crash onto an unknown alien planet and reignited the great war between their factions. And then the Maximals kind of got beat up. And then they're retreating. They run into the former Predacon Dinobot, who demands to duel Optimus for leadership of the Maximals. So yeah, we pretty much pick up where we left off with Dinobot challenging Optimus. Optimus mostly doesn't want to do it, saying that it's kind of pointless. And the other Maximals think they should just blast them and be done with it, particularly a rat trap. But Optimus he decides to accept. And so we get a good old sword fight with Dinobot with his spinning rotor thing, which they do because that was part of his toy, and his sword. And Optimus with these really weird scimitars that look like a scimitar, but the blade is backwards.
There's a weapon actually that's kind of like that. So your scimitar would normally go like this. So you're saying it goes like that? There's an Egyptian weapon.
The Kopesh.
Yes,
doesn't look like a Kopesh.
Yeah,
but yeah. So they go into robot mode and fight. Dinobot does some like impressive sword strikes before Optimus knocks him down and has him where Dinobot tells him, "I still live, finish it." And Optimus replies, "That's not how we Maximals do things. And that will have to change," and shooting with eye lasers. And Optimus slips and prepares to fall off the cliff before Dinobot saves him.
Wait a second. Has it been established that Optimus can fly yet?
Well, I assume his jets are still... He got shot down in the last episode. I actually was wondering that, too.
All right.
But then they mention a later line, like, oh, your jets have been repaired at this point. I'm like, oh, I guess they were busted.
Right, yeah. You guys mentioned that. Like, we always think you're going to be bad at continuity, then you're actually good at it. Our bad.
Yeah. But yeah. Dinobot saves him because it wouldn't be honorable if Optimus lost by just, like, slipping on a rock.
Dinobot is so obsessed with honor, he's practically a member of the Fire Nation.
Oh, yes. So then they go back into fighting, and like it comes to how they maybe actually respect each other. It's like, ah, they're getting along. Certainly no one could ruin this moment. And then someone comes along who wants to ruin this moment.
Yes. Spoiler alert, it's Megatron.
Yes.
What if it wasn't Megatron? That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But no, Megatron's watching with the Predacons. Some of them are taking bets on what's going on. Megatron would kind of prefer if they both decide to attack while they're bounced on this precarious bridge.
Wait, okay, so in a hypothetical death match between a silverback gorilla and a velociraptor, who would you bet on?
Depends. Are we talking like the Dinobot is, or like a scientifically accurate velociraptor? Because they aren't actually that big.
They're the size of a sheep, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Dinobot is benefiting from the Jurassic Park effect.
Yeah, so he looked exactly like a Jurassic Park velociraptor. But no, I don't know. I feel like, alone, a velociraptor, like a scientifically accurate velociraptor, probably wouldn't stand a chance against a silverback gorilla. You know, let's put it, let's say one Jurassic Park velociraptor versus a silverback gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you bet on?
I'm going to go with the gorilla. Get punch. I mean, like, raptors have the claws, but they're kind of frail.
I'm going to...
Like, the gorilla could get its hand on it, and I think it could take it out.
I'm going to put an outlier bet. I'm going to say the Silverback's going to win, but not walk away from the fight.
Yeah. Any biologists out here in theoretical like gorilla dinosaur fights, please feel free to weigh on this on Twitter.
Yeah. Are you team gorilla or team raptor?
Yeah. So anyways, the Predacons attack and Rat Trap notices as they open fire and we cut to commercial. So as we come back, Optimus sees her fighting, goes into beast mode, and grabs Dinobot and jumps off the bridge as a bunch of fire is incoming. Cheater cries out, "No!" because someone has to. But it turns out Optimus is actually holding on with a foot to Dinobot, who's still in robot mode, which is bad for him because the Energon starts to overwhelm him, and he can't hold on. In fact, tells Optimus to drop him to save his own skin. But Optimus said, now that wouldn't be honorable, would it?
Are they both? So Dinobot's in robot mode and Optimus is in beast mode?
Yeah, Optimus changed into beast mode because gorillas have can prehensile feet. So he's grabbing onto the edge of the cliff to avoid the incoming file. Dinobot's still a robot, so he can't transform into beast mode while being held.
Okay.
Well, because his robot arms become the dinosaur. It doesn't work. I mean,
yeah,
pretty complicated. It's dramatic. Fortunately,
plot reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, Rhinox leads the charge, grabbing a once again very reluctant Rat Trap to grab Optimus just as they fall. And then the bridge gets blown up and we get treated to a nice slow motion as the bridge dissolves into many triangles because this is an early CG show and particle effects are still a bit. And Rat Trap almost doesn't make it, but Prime grabs him and tells him, "You're welcome." And Rat Trap in his extreme grand response, "You're the leader. It's your job." And once again, an errant missile fired off by a Scorponok goes and hits a mountain way off in the distance, which is how far does these missiles go?
Yeah.
That seems a little overkill to have, something that can, a personal weapon can go miles away. Whatever, it's a TV show.
I don't think overkill is a concept the Predacons understand.
Yeah. But it blows open part of the mountain, revealing Energon crystals. And though we have the conflict of the episode, the Predacons want to get there to take the Energon because that will give them enough energy to take over the galaxy. And obviously the Maximals want to stop that. Rat Trap and Rhinox are, now that they're safe, are want to get rid of this former Predacon. But Optimus stops them. We also get at 11:15, we get Rat Trap dubbing Dinobot Chopperface, which is a name he will use frequently throughout the series. I forget whether I actually forgot to pay attention if Dinobot responds with "Vermin," which is what he'll be calling a Rat Trap for most of the series. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Optimus says they all have to work together, including Dinobot. So they head off to beat them to the Energon.
A little bit of exposition at that point. Optimus asked Dinobot, will he send the flyers up? Because the Maximals assume that because the Predacons have flyers, they'll probably have a bigger lead. Dinobot says, no, the only Tarantulas have the skill to segment the crystal, which, okay.
Yeah. He's a scientist. That's a science word.
Well, I wasn't sure what he meant by that, but if Tarantulas is a scientist, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Which of the Maximals is the scientist then? Rhinox?
Yeah.
They kind of all are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tarantula's definitely the mad scientist though.
Yeah. I mean, Rat Trap's definitely not a scientist. He's more like
a scout.
I think I had a personal headcanon for a while that Rat Trap joined the queue to dodge some debts on Cybertron. I know there's some comics I flesh it out, and I don't know if that's what they go with, but that's personally what I like to believe.
I believe it's canon that on Cybertron, he was a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so they head off, and as night falls, and they pass by a mysterious ruins that looks suspiciously like Stonehenge.
But legally distinct.
Yeah. Which, given we'll find out later in the series, raises a lot of questions, but right now it's just mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Just like in Ice Age, when they're walking by, there's like, shoddy architecture, it'll never last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And then when suddenly Waspinator and Pterosaur, who I guess I don't know if we've ever really defined them. Like Waspinator is a big old wasp. Pterosaur turns into a pterodactyl. He hasn't done too much from being screechy though yet.
I don't know if there's a difference, he's a pterosaur, not a dinosaur, but
yeah. Oh, yeah. Frequently confused. I believe Pteranodon is like the genus or like family name, and Pterodactyl is a specific species.
And Pteranodon, just a generic name for flying lizards, then?
I think so. I mean, it's still related. Like, I feel bad that I didn't do this. Like,
someone's
going to yell us about dinosaurs dinosaur-related things.
Okay, so the limited Latin I know from for being a science major for a while, pterosaur literally translates into wing lizard.
Oh yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, if I remember, like early dinosaur books, anything with sword part of the name is lizard. So like, Tyrannosaurus, tyrant lizard king. I think Apatosaurus is like a different lizard.
Pachycephalosaurus means hard-headed lizard.
Yeah,
I just like when I was interning for school at a second grade class for a year, I did this thing called Science Circle, and my first lesson was on dinosaurs. Pachycephalosaurus was how I got them this, like, interest. Like, hey, these are some hard words. If you practice that, though, you can learn to say them.
Yeah, good on you. Like, I never learned how to get that right. And even when I was, like, being into dinosaurs, that was always a complicated one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, the Max is transformed in fight, except for Rhinox, who kind of just stands there because he doesn't have a gun yet. Don't pay attention.
It would have been awesome if you just started charging people.
Yeah. Yeah. Optimus is jets from here, so he takes flight to fight them in the air and drives them off. Like, Dinobot, of course, wants to finish him off and starts shooting his eye lasers and accidentally causes part of, like, the roof, because they're underneath an overhang, to fall off and nearly crush Rhinox, which causes Rattrap to immediately assume he's turning traitor, knock him over, and prepare to put, like, a bullet in the head. It's like, whoa! Slow your roll, Rattrap!
I'm not sure if Rattrap trusts Dinobot at any point.
Yeah. Optimus tells him to stand down, and then, of course, you get, like, Dinobot's finally standing up and looming over them, because like Dinobot's like twice the size of like Rattrap. I think he might be the tallest Maximal, at least in season one. I have to check. There's like a cat photo that shows everyone's relative sizes, and I think he is, mainly because like he is like a Predacon and also a warrior. But yeah, so then we jump ahead a bit to like the Predacons finally arriving at the Energon, and Tarantula saying it's too intense for them to transform. So they'll have to extract it in beast mode, which I guess is a good thing. It's the thing that has 8 legs. Like, hope he doesn't have to do any fine manipulation.
Yeah.
Or doesn't seem to have any equipment to do anything with it. But that's not important, because the Maximals then show up.
Well, actually, speaking of fine manipulation, like, I think he would actually have more dexterity in beast mode. Because he's just got, like, a claw in robot mode.
Yeah, he has claw hands. It's questionable how like Tarantulas does anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Maximals show up and we get a Megatron gives a big old speech. I did not write it down though. Let's see, across the galaxy it has come to this. Optimus Primal, face to face, tooth to claw. Yes. Have you anything to say? I'd say that's Prime. Let's do it. And we get a fight as everyone engages and like goes fight one-on-one. We get some like cute bits of animation. Pterosaur bullfights Rhinox because he has like the little wing flaps. Rhinox jumps on Tarantulas and starts pulling like his little front claws. And of course, like the marquee fight is like Optimus and Megatron, where you get like a big old King Kong fight with them smashing up rocks, Megatron trying to bite off Optimus's head, eventually taking a punk out of his leg, revealing like technology and stuff beneath it. It's like, ooh. Proving that, of course, like when you're robots, you can get away with any sort of violence. But Prime ultimately ends up driving off by like grabbing on the tail and doing like a Super Mario 64 spin and knocking away into some rocks. So that gets Megatron.
Funny bit of trivia. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
For the commentary for this episode. I don't know why it's on the season 3 DVD, but it's on here. Gary Chalk actually had the voice actor for Optimus had to step outside for a phone call, and Scott McNeil and Alec Willows start cracking jokes about it being Gary's mom on the phone.
Yeah, I wish I had the DVDs with the commentary tracks, since those sound amusing. Hmm. Anyways, Megatron is a bit frustrating, so he transforms into robot mode, even though the Energon is dangerous, and fires a missile at Prime. Get a slow motion shot of like a coming and hitting before Dinobot jumps in the way and swipes at it with his tail, knocking the missile out of the way. But he knocks it into some Energon, so surprisingly, everything starts to explode. And everyone has to get out of there before it blows up, and Megatron first appears to actually kind of like go offline with being overloaded with Energon, until he just like suddenly like wakes up and just dives out of the way as everything explodes. Leaving the Maximals on a hill victorious. Optimus thanks Dinobot, but says that all he was doing was settling the score. And then Optimus Prime proceeds to give the pitch on the series. I wish I was joking, but he's basically like, we're like stuck on this abandoned planet. We're going to be fighting the Max, the Predacons, presumably for a bunch of episodes or so. Specifically says, for now, let the battle be here on this strange primitive war, and let it be called Beast Wars.
And, I don't remember if it was in this episode, but when they're all just walking back base in beast mode, Rat Trap just rides on Rhinox's back.
Yeah. A lot of them ride on Rhinox, because, like, who is kind of small for a rhinoceros, but like still can usually fit like Prime and Rat Trap on his back.
Yeah, I don't know what's funny, a rat riding a rhino or a gorilla riding a rhino.
Yeah. So,
by the way, kids, don't try that. Rhinos are really aggressive.
Yes. Yes. Don't pull on their tails either. Shoutouts to Relina Dorlin. Anyway, so I think that's all the events of the episode. Do we want to move on to the Rat Trap Rap?
Yep. Okay, Rat Trap, yep, here we go.
All right.
It's like I always say, we're all gonna die. I know, shut up, Rat Trap.
Right. Shut up, Rat Trap.
Yes.
I'm just gonna say that every time.
That's fair. All right. So yeah, it's pretty standard plot of things considered. They find MacGuffin and they have to go and stop Megatron.
Yeah, one scene that's cool, it's actually part of the opening, is during the fight between Optimus and Megatron. Megatron just like turns his head to the side and just like tries to just bite his neck off.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. Like there's a lot of good like animation during the fight. I mentioned some of the during the recap.
Yeah, I wonder if that would do you think that would actually work though? Like if you like tore out his neck, would that actually do anything?
I mean, maybe. It's very nebulous how you kill Transformers. As we'll definitely see, particularly when it comes to Waspinator.
I think Waspinator's semi immortal.
Yeah, who will literally be blown to pieces and survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, like, one thing that disappoints me a little is, like, you get, like, the Maximal cast gets pretty well fleshed out, but, like, aside from Megatron and technically Dinobot, you don't get much of the Predacons.
Yeah, I think, at various points, some of the Predacons die. I think, yeah. I'm starting to think toy sales and popularity of characters is how they chose who got offed.
Oh, for sure. Like in this first episode, all you have is like Pterosaur is like sometimes kind of squawky. Waspinator always talks like this with buzzing noises.
Pterosaur, when he's transforming, he's like, Pterosaur! Pterosaur! Kind of like Krang, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Scorbunok doesn't really get do much in either, and like Tarantulas is just creepy. Fortunately, most of them will get some character villains going on, and some of the less interesting ones will just get offed.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not surprising that they would focus on the heroes, but like it is a little disappointing. The villains are just like, we're the villains, and that's about it.
Yeah, we're all just in this for Energon and conquering. I feel like depending on which version, the Decepticons had, like, better motivations.
The Decepticons didn't have, like, super good motivations. Like, Megatron's like, I will conquer the universe!
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in some, depending on the version, in some, he's just like, Cybertron's in chaos, needs a leader, strong leader. I'll do it.
Yeah. No, this is, like, it's very much a pilot, giving you a basic thing, you could have elements. Megatron almost kind of dies to leave the mystery of, like, oh, what are we, like, Orga. It also drawing back towards, kind of reminds me of the original, where, like, the original more than you say kind of ends with a definitive victory over the Decepticons, and, like, the Autobots getting ready to go back to space. Spoilers, they don't. It's kind of weird.
Were you talking about G1?
Yeah, and, like, the original more than meets the pilot, it ends with the Decepticon ship, the gun that's supposed to go take them back to Cybertron, crashing into the ocean, and the Autobots going, "Well, I guess they're all dead." And I think it ends with the leaders of the world like uniting to fight Energon, so the Autobots can return home to Cybertron. Just like that seems a little weird. Like how many of them actually know about these like alien robots? They've mostly been concentrating like the Organ area.
The close to Nemesis, the Decepticon ship that takes them back, is it?
Yeah. In Gen 1, the Autobots are on the Ark, the Decepticons are on... I forget what the Decepticons are on the Nemesis. It's either the ship that takes them there, or the ship that they're under the water in.
Oh, okay, well, that can't be...
The ship that they take them in, because otherwise, continuity in Beast Wars, it doesn't make sense. Of things to come.
Just based on the continuity of Beast Wars, they go in the Ark to deflect an asteroid or something. Yeah. The Decepticons attack, board the Ark. Mm-hmm. They crash on Earth. Their ship is basically just lost. And then that's the last year of the ship.
Yeah.
It can't be or like this.
Like 65, I forget how many years it takes. I want to say 65 million years, but I don't know if they literally crash in dinosaur times in the original show.
They're the reason the dinosaurs died.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. I'm just saying that.
No.
Yeah, I think it's 50 million. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Like long, long time ago. There we go.
Yes.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely pieces of stuff to stuff to come.
Yeah. Yeah, these two episodes were pilot. There's not really a lot we can say about them.
Yeah, there'll be a lot more interesting episodes to come. Like next episode the next episode in particular is
next episode. Cheetor gets trapped in Tarantulas' web, and he threatens to drain him of his bodily fluids.
Yep, we get a one like episode? I'm sorry, I was looking ahead some of the episodes. I don't know. I think the Rhino one is in broadcast order.
Let me check, actually. I think I'm 90% sure the next one is... Yeah, the web. Yeah, that's the one where Cheetor gets trapped in Tarantulas' web.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? I don't have any blood to drain. I'm a robot. It's like, it's not really for nourishment. It's really just I just enjoy the act.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
You're a spider, right? I said, yeah, you're a spider, all right. Just biting into him for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tarantulas is weird. Tarantulas as we will soon find out.
Having taken some biology classes, like Tarantulas is as scary as a real-world spider, and I just say that based on the fact that the Chasaurae, the actual mouth part of the spider that the entire genus is based off of. Mm-hmm. It is the scariest piece of biology, like single piece of biology I've ever seen. And that's like going from like single celled organisms up to like the most complex organism we have. This is just the stuff of literal nightmares. They're basically just like what's known as spider fangs, but they're just scarier looking in real life than actual fangs.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're done with our wrappings. So I guess we should move to wrapping things up.
Nice. Oh yeah, this here is something I love puns. So if I'll be laughing at that. If you don't like it, too tough. All right. I'll be making a fair amount of puns from here on out. All right, so that's the rat trap. Yep, going on to messages from the golden disc.
We still don't have any because we haven't actually aired yet.
Yeah, still need to come up with. I don't think we really need an interstitial for that. If anyone wants to make one, though, let me know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So still nothing from golden disc is. The golden disc is still scratch. Our record player is not working, so we can't read the golden disc right now.
Yeah, we need to like replace a needle or something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Take it to Geek Squad.
Yeah, but if you have any questions, you can ask them to us on our Twitter, which is @AxelonArchives, which is spelled as the words are, no spaces or anything.
Axelon's a made up word. You might want to spell that for them.
Yeah, AXLON Archives. Wait, AXALON. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Our email is the same, axelonarchives@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We can find it individually. I can be found at DAOFAQ, DAOFAQ.
And I can be found at Discord_Inc.
We don't have a Patreon or a Facebook or anything like that. As of recording this, we don't actually have an album art yet. We're about to ask a mutual friend of ours to make it. He's currently moving, though. We haven't actually
asked. We'll actually have it made by the time we put this up.
Yes, we haven't actually asked him yet. We should ask him. We should tell him, like, hey.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, we should get around to that very soon. Like, the two things we need to do before we air, we need to find them. We need to decide where we're going to host the podcast, and we need album art. So. Yeah. Probably going to be like around like month-ish before we actually air, hopefully sooner.
Okay. Well, but that's time for later. So I guess that's all for me. For me, James?
That's all I got to say. So this is Axelon Archives closing up. I wish I had to put the close right now.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.